Genesis chapter 41, reading verses 40 down to verse 44. We are at the life of Joseph. We've got to the point where we're entering into his exaltation, where he was set over the land of Egypt. And last week we looked at his position. And so we'll continue today with another thought from the life of Joseph. Genesis chapter 41, verse 40. Pharaoh said, "Thou shalt be over my house, and according unto thy word shall all my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had, and they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Amen. We know the Lord lad his blessing to the reading of his word. We'll just unite together in prayer and seek the Lord at this time. Lord, we confess we need thee just now. We pray, O God, thou wilt write thy word upon our heart. And Father, we look to thee as we seek to learn more about the life of Joseph. May above all we see the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen. Having been exalted by Pharaoh, Joseph was now set to rule over Egypt. "Thou shalt rule over my house." This rule was to execute power over the affairs and furtherance of the kingdom in Egypt. Joseph was set before the people of the land as the only preserver and provider for life when facing death. We learned in Joseph's position that he had a responsibility, a rule, and a right to his position. And such responsibility, rule, and right belonged to his exalted position over the kingdom. It belonged to no other. No other was given this position. No other was chosen out. And we've looked at that in greater detail. The man chosen to rule over the land, the man chosen to do what needs to be done to save the nation, must be one who is discreet, one who is wise, one of understanding, one in whom the Spirit of God is. And Pharaoh, as he looks around the nation, he can see none but Joseph only. And Joseph is the man chosen to rule over the nation. He's the only one who can do what needs to be done to save the nation from death in the famine. And so there's a picture there of the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is the only one chosen. He is the only one set apart who can deliver sinners from the wrath of God. He's the only one who has responsibility, rule, and right in any life. He is the one who rules over his eternal kingdom and all the kingdoms of this world. And so he is our Savior exalted. And having looked at Joseph's position, now today we come to Joseph's presentation. So we've looked at his position. Now we will look at his presentations. And there are three presentations that we will look at today. But just for now, chapter or verse 42, Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. These presentations were symbolic of Joseph's rule and office, a rule over the land of Egypt. The presentations, or the regalia that Joseph wears, declares his work and office of a prophet, a priest, and a king, one to rule over the nation, one to deliver the nation from death. By his humiliation, Joseph was sent forth by his father to seek the well-being of his brethren. And therefore, he pictures a prophet to bring forth God's message before men. And then as a priest to sympathize and to seek God on behalf of men, in order to bring them back to God. And then as a king to rule over and secure deliverance. But now in his exaltation, now that Joseph has been highly exalted in the land, he is enthroned. And from the throne of Egypt, he will still fulfill his role as a prophet who is a faithful messenger, as a priest, one who is righteous and clothed in garments to intervene in the lives of people, and then as a king to govern. Joseph will act for all whom he represents, all whom Pharaoh has given into his hand. He will act on behalf. All Joseph will do is to save those whom have been given to him within the kingdom, who have been given to him from perishing. Joseph will never stop to fulfill his role. And therefore, what a picture we have of the Lord Jesus Christ, our greater Joseph. After his humiliation, he is exalted, a righteous Savior, a Redeemer, and Sovereign Lord. He entered into heaven, seated at God's right hand. Our Savior is upon the throne, and he ever lives to act on behalf of those given to him within his eternal kingdom. All that Christ does from the throne of heaven is for the benefit of and on behalf of his inheritance. The Shorter Catechism, question 23. What offices does Christ execute as our Redeemer? The answer is, Christ executeth the office of a prophet, of a priest, and of a king, both. That's the key, both, in his estate of humiliation and exaltation. When Christ entered into heaven, he ever remains our faithful prophet, our priest, and our king. And one day when the Lord comes back, we will see him high and exalted, for we will see him as he is. And therefore, there is this wonderful symbolism, this parallelism between the life of Joseph and the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as we think of the exaltation and look at Joseph's position, now we look at his presentations. Notice three simple thoughts. Joseph was presented with a ring. We read that there. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand. And so this ring symbolized authority. The ring of power declared that Joseph was sent out by Pharaoh to rule and to reign. It was the mark to confirm. His royal decree was sealed. Joseph's word was the final authority in all matters. What did Pharaoh say in verse 40 to Joseph? According to thy word shall all my people be ruled. Verse 55, go on to Joseph, what he saith to you, do. This word ring, as we have before you, means in the original a signet ring. It means that which sinks in. In the day when royal documents, decrees or laws from rulers were given, put in place, the ruler's ring was put in to wax. And then it was put on that document to seal it. And with the king's stamp, the ruler's image, the information within that document made it legally binding. In other words, it was a document, it was a law from the king himself or the ruler at that time. This document that was sealed, it signified that the king's word and command must be upheld. The law that has now been established, whatever has been decreed, is now in operation. There's no turning back. There's no changing. It must be upheld. The king requirements must be met. And therefore, Joseph will rule with authority. And that authority, by his word, is demonstrated by the ring, because the ring symbolized authority. It was the ring given to show, here is the stamp of approval. Therefore, Pharaoh gave Joseph the law of the power of law making. The ring marked Joseph as one who had supreme authority given into his hand. The ring upon his hand was the seal of authority. Joseph, by his exalted position, had power to rule from the throne. And from the throne, Joseph would give the message of God, instructing and counseling, giving the terms of deliverance to the people of the land and his own brethren who came to him, what they must do to live and not perish. And we will look at that in the next number of weeks as we go on. And therefore, all who come to Joseph and take Joseph at his word and submit to his authority, as we learn from chapters 41 to chapters 46, they will be spared. What a view we have of Christ, our exalted prophet, because he rules upon the throne of God. And in his exaltation, he continues to act as a faithful prophet, because he will never stop revealing the will of God for our salvation and for edification, both in his humiliation and in his exaltation. His word always came and continues to come by his authority. You read in the Gospels the many times when Christ spoke the word, it came with authority. It came with power. It was not as the scribes and the rulers. Why? Because they just quoted man after man. They gave man's word. But when Christ came, he came with the living word of God. And so his word came with authority. And now he is exalted. His word still comes with authority. His word still comes with power. And that's how we ought to pray, Lord, Sunday by Sunday, speak in power. Lord, as we come to the Wednesday night meeting, speak in power. May the word preached come in power with authority. We learn, don't we? The Lord said to his disciples in Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, the Lord said, all power, that is the word authority, all power, authority, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father. I'm glad we still read the Father, because these words today are being changed to the Mother. Even the Lord's Prayer is now changed to our Mother and all this here nonsense. And so we have it here in Scripture. Keep to the Word of God and you'll be right and do right. The name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even on to the end of the world. And so that's Christ saying to his disciples, my authority, my power, you will go in that power. You will minister in that power, because my authority is given through your ministry to preach the gospel. Pharaoh sent Joseph with the ring of authority to go out and rule throughout the land. And so we read in John 20, verse 21, the Lord says, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And Christ sending believers to serve him day by day, he equips, he empowers, and he enables you to do so by his authority, the ring of his power. Do you know, whenever you hold the word of God in your hand, you hold the ring of authority. When you proclaim the message of the Bible, you do so from authority, from heaven's throne. When you read the Bible, when you read God's precious word, you read a word from the King himself. You read the word right from the throne of God. The commands in it are not to be changed, for the word of God is forever settled in heaven. It is the breathed out word of God. It is sealed by precious blood. And therefore, let me say to you, it is not the Bible that needs updating, or biblical laws that need changing, or biblical foundations that need redefining. Rather, we need to submit to the King's ring of authority. We need to submit ourselves to the King's decree, to the King's law, and be ruled by his authority. In other words, we don't need to redefine the Bible. Rather, we need to rededicate ourselves and return to the Bible. This is what this land needs. Every church needs this. Yea, the royal family need it. It's not redefining. It's returning to the Word of God. We don't need to challenge the Bible. Rather, we need to be challenged by the Word of God, changed by the Word of God, and conformed to the Word. And therefore, whenever the preacher tells forth the Word of life, how sinners can flee the wrath to come, how believers can claim their spiritual inheritance and grow in grace and enjoy all the benefits of the everlasting covenant of grace. Because let me tell you this, there's a buffet of blessing in God's Word. All those things that you can feast on and enjoy yourself on. Listen, when you get stuck into the Bible and the Bible gets stuck into you and you begin to understand and read about these great truths, regeneration and redemption and adoption and justification, sanctification and so many more, union, election, it does our hearts good. Because it's showing us, it's teaching us, here's what Christ has done for me. And that blesses our hearts, and it keeps us going on. And so, if you're not enjoying your Christian life, it's because you're not in the Word. And the Word is not in you. Because I tell you, there's a blessing here in reading the Word of God, learning what Christ has done for you, and what it means. You're adopted. You're actually a child of God. Do you realize that? You're a child of the King. If you are saved by the grace, you've been adopted, a son, a daughter of God. You've been redeemed. Your debt has been paid. And we can go on so much more. Thrills our hearts. And so, believer, when you make decisions about the work, about work, education, about marriage, about moving house, different decisions in your life, the Word of God is your counsel. Get to the Word of God. Before you make a decision, pray on the ground of God's Word, because His Word is your authority. This is the ring of authority in your life. You word every day on your life, on your heart, on your hand. You see it as here is authority in my life, and be ruled by the Word of God, not by your passions, not by your emotions, your likes, your wants, but by the Word of God. So Joseph was presented with a ring. Notice Joseph was presented with robes because he was arrayed him in vestures of fine linen. The word vestures, as you have before you, means robes, clothing, apparel, garments. And that's interesting because notice it's in the plural, which is vestures. So it's many robes and many garments. So just as the ring, it symbolized authority, so the robes, they symbolized appointment. Joseph was appointed, set apart, as the only one who could save the people from perishing in the famine. Joseph's life, as we have learned already, haven't we, has been associated with many different garments and many different robes. We've looked already, we're not going into it in detail. But there was, remember, the vesture of a son. Remember Genesis 37, he was given that coat of many colors. Then there was the vesture of a servant in Genesis chapter 39. Then there was the vesture of sentencing in Genesis 39 through to 40, as he is in prison and he wears the prison clothes. Then there is the vesture of a seer in Genesis 41, verse 14. He is given new garments by Pharaoh. Then now we come fifth to the vestures of supremacy. And that is Genesis 41, where he is now arrayed in vestures of fine linen. And Pharaoh, in bestowing these robes, in bestowing these garments upon Joseph, is reversing the act and the accusation of Potiphar's wife against Joseph. Remember this vile, wicked woman. She put Joseph's name through the mud, as it were, accused him of crimes that he did not do. The innocent one, the pure one, and yet he was sentenced to prison, and then he had all these prison robes. Well, now Pharaoh, in exalting Joseph, in lifting him up, shows the one who was slandered and shamed and suffered, I am now testifying, he is actually the righteous one. He is the holy one. He is the one who is innocent, the one who's been chosen to rule. Because notice, the word linen, these vestures of fine linen. The word linen comes from the Hebrew word, meaning to be bright or to be white. And therefore, it is a word that symbolizes and signifies and speaks of purity, holiness, and righteousness. Again, we will look more at this word in our study in the tabernacle, and we'll mention it a wee bit later on. But remember, Joseph lived in holiness of life. His life from an early teenager was marked by purity. Remember when his brethren got into all sorts of terrible things, he was separated from them. He was not involved in it. All those things. And so his life is marked out by purity. But now, because of his purity, he's now been attacked by it, slandered because of it. And so what Pharaoh does in exalting him and giving him these many vestures, these many garments, he is saying, the one who was in jail, the one who was humiliated, the one who was slandered, is now the one exalted, the one who is supreme, the one who will rule over all. Basically, Pharaoh is saying, here is Joseph, the innocent one. He is anointed. He is appointed to rule. He will intervene in the lives of men and women. His rule will be glorious. His rule will be in honor and in purity. He will rule serving God by faith in Christ. You remember 140 years later, whenever the children of Israel left, 140 years later, whenever the children of Israel left Egypt, because remember, at the end, whenever Joseph dies, there will be a new Pharaoh put in place. And so this Pharaoh will begin to afflict the people of God. And then we know Moses comes and all the other stuff. So during Moses' time, whenever the children of Israel left Egypt, they didn't leave empty-handed. They took all the material and things from Egypt and brought them in with them. Why? Because these materials would be used for the building of the tabernacle, the silver, the gold. Some of it we have looked at already in our study in the tabernacle on those particular Sundays. And some of these things we learn in Exodus 27. Some of these materials were the white linen fence. And we remember that symbolized the righteousness of God because it spoke of purity, holiness. And then in Exodus 26, the curtains were made from this material. And then also Exodus 28, the priest's garments were made from this material. Now all these things, whether it was the white linen fence, the curtains, and even the priest's garments, they were all appointed. They were all set apart in holy service for God. Linen was, as we said, the garment of the priest. The priest's service included prayer and sacrifice to God upon the ground of the blood that was acceptable to God. And as we consider the Lord Jesus Christ and the tabernacle and all these great truths, he is the great high priest. He is the one appointed to save. He is the one who is perfect, who is righteous, holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. At Calvary, he was stripped of his garments. But today, he is clothed with glory and honor. He is the exalted great high priest, clothed in garments of beauty upon his throne. He intercedes and intervenes on behalf of men and women. He rules in righteousness. And so there's no other qualified or appointed to save, to clothe, to comfort, to sustain you in life or in eternity. Only Jesus Christ alone. And therefore, believer, Christ's priestly appointment guarantees our preservation and our deliverance from eternal wrath, because he is the Lord our righteousness, and he is the one who has clothed us. Revelation chapter 19 describes the church of Christ as his bride. And we'll look at this later on, because this gets more exciting as well, because we learn Pharaoh gives Joseph a bride, and his bride is a Gentile bride. But don't get me started on that. We'll leave that for another time. You'll have to come back for that and get the other tickets again, fly back over as well. So we'll get that again. So there's many wonderful things we can go on here about that. But here we have the church described, clothed in these linen garments. Again, Revelation 19, verse 8. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen, this is what it means, is the righteousness of the saints. And so Joseph is clothed in this linen that symbolizes purity, righteousness, holiness, to show here is one who is innocent. The one who was humiliated is now exalted. The one who was slandered is now to be honored and obeyed and worshipped. And therefore, child of God, we learn that it is through Christ that we are enthroned. It is through Christ that we are clothed, because we are accepted in him. His enthronement declares that he is appointed to do what was required to honor God, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, all who will go to Joseph in this famine will be spared. There's the storehouses that he will open. Again, don't get me started now on that. But the storehouses that he will open to supply the need. Because through Joseph, there is a sufficiency to meet the need. And therefore, believer, to live the Christian life, all you need is found in Jesus Christ. And sinner, all you need for salvation is found in Jesus Christ. None but Christ can satisfy. That's why Pharaoh, in this time of need, he doesn't look to anybody else in the kingdom. He looks straight to Joseph. He's the only one who can do what needs to be done. Notice finally, Joseph was presented with a gold chain. Notice, and put a gold chain about his neck. So as the ring symbolized authority, and the robes, they symbolized appointment. So the gold chain symbolizes accomplishment, means rank, rewards, royalty, and rulership. It points to one who could not fail and did not fail. Pharaoh exalted Joseph to assure the people, here's one who will do great and mighty things. Here's one who will deliver from the famine. Here's one that has the message from God, who knows what needs to be done, and it will be carried out. And so when the people, they're gathered around, and they see this ring and these vestures and then this gold chain, and they worship Joseph, they know here's one who will not fail, one who will not disappoint, but one who will deliver, one who will do all that needs to be done. Because the one who wears this gold chain is the one who has earned the reward to wear it. Through his sufferings, Joseph, as a prisoner, we learn, remember, in Psalm 105, verses 17 through 18, there was a chain, an iron chain, put round his neck, a chain of slavery, a chain of humiliation. But now that has been exchanged for a chain of gold around his neck. Speaks of accomplishment. His chain was that of a lofty prince, not a lowly prisoner. His prison exchanged for a palace, his fetters for golden chain, his prison garments for robes of glory. And Joseph earned his reward because he gave the message of God. Furthermore, gold was associated with royalty and kingship. The sovereign, they possess gold. You think of gold, queens and kings in the Bible. They all had gold. It spoke of wealth and power. Today, army forces, they will have stripes. You will see them there, especially on Remembrance Day and other things. They have all these different stripes, their rewards, what they have earned. They have fought in battle. You think of Daniel chapter 5, verses 7 and 29. Daniel was given a gold chain by Belshazzar as a reward for him for interpreting the message of the handwriting on the wall. And Daniel was promoted to serve on that high rank. And so when Pharaoh puts this gold chain about Joseph's neck, here is the sign of high authority. Here is the sign of accomplishment. Here is the sign of one who is worthy, one who is glory, one who will receive all honor, one who will not fail in this time of need. Joseph will give victory over the famine. He will secure deliverance for all who come to him. The Gentile people of the land of Egypt had confidence Joseph was able to deliver. In the coming chapters, we will know in chapter 42, his own brethren, the Jewish brethren, they come into Egypt to Joseph in this time of need to be delivered from the famine. So again, we have a picture there of both Jew and Gentile looking to the Lord Jesus Christ as the only preserver and deliverer of his people. Because both Jew and Gentile in Christ are one. He accomplished salvation for all his redeemed people. And therefore Christ, as the King of his people, rules and governs righteously. He has earned the reward. He met every requirement for requirement of God for his people, which he calls his inheritance, his treasure, his jewels, his royal diadem. In Isaiah 62, verse 4, he calls them Hephzibah, my delight. You think about that. The Lord calls you my delight. And so in closing, Joseph's presentations, they caused the people as they gathered, when they seen his position, and in all these presentations, they saw one who has all authority, one who is appointed, and one who will accomplish all that needs to be done to save them. Therefore, Christ is a greater than Joseph. He is the one who has a glorious Savior, a victorious King, defends his people. His wealth will never lose its value. He will supply the need of all his people. He's able to do great and mighty things. He will not fail us. He will not disappoint. Therefore, believer, throughout life and when you come to death, he will not fail you. When we shall behold him, he shall be presented as one possessed with all authority to save, appointed to save, and accomplished to save. Can I ask, are you a member of his kingdom? Will you surrender to him now and take him as your prophet, your priest, and your king? For none will perish who come to the Lord Jesus Christ. For his name's sake, amen.